Tom mentioned that one picture is worth a thousand words. I almost wanted to have the children's sermon repeated that we had at 8 o'clock for that reason. Today, we had a very unusual sermon. Our sermon is on the tongue, and the preacher asked the children, what is the most powerful weapon in the world that can destroy people just like that? And the little boy said a bazooka, and another said a nuclear bomb. He said, nope. Then he reached into his box, and he pulled out a for real cow tongue. And he says, this is it, the tongue. Those children will never forget that sermon. Neither would you, and that's why I didn't use it. You know, Jerry Lambert, he's kind of a jock, and yet he said, I'm sure glad I wasn't standing up. Let's bow in prayer. Father, be with us now, and take this text and use it in our lives in a way that will change us and mature us for Jesus' sake. Amen. If you'll open your Bibles, you'll note that Christians are called to live a straight life in a crooked world. Our text says that you may be blameless and innocent, children of God without blemish in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation, among whom you shine as lights in the dark world. Now, if we think about it, most of us usually associate straight living with moral behavior, avoiding dishonesty, sexual immorality, and greed. But note what our text claims is, quote, proof of the straight life. Do all things without grumbling or questioning, that you may be blameless and innocent. The scripture says that Christian morality is closely associated with the words that we speak. God is concerned about what we say because our words are reflections of what's happening in our hearts. Unfortunately, most of us don't take our words very seriously, nor do many of us relate our conversation habits as a measure of our spiritual maturity. We're much more prone to look at, quote, our moral lives. I want us to take a look at the meaning of grumbling and complaining and relate these speech patterns to our spiritual life today and see what we learn. Grumbling in the original language is the act of complaining or cursing or gossiping to express displeasure with circumstances or people. Questioning is the act of taking grumbling a step further by devising evil plans as our response to our frustration. So if you combine the meaning of these two words, Paul seems to say to Menlo Park today, stop murmuring about people and circumstances. Stop cursing God about your fate. Such words lead to acts of questioning, of scheming to hurt or get even with God, with people, with circumstances that we feel have hurt us. In a nutshell, grumbling and questioning lead to ungodliness. So let's build some bridges from that text to where we live. First, be reminded that grumbling or being a grouch leads to action. Action against God, against others, and against ourselves. What comes out of our mouths is serious stuff. Words are not isolated, neutral, harmless happenings. Words cannot be divorced from who we are. Recently, I was talking to one daughter at college, asking how things were going, dear. Dad, it's the pits. Courses are too hard. Food in the cafeteria is awful. I've got a cold, and I'm not sure I want to pursue my major. Hearing all that grumbling made me feel it was a mistake to have called her. And then I felt stupid for crawling into her problem. You know, I'd had those for 18 years. But then 2 days later, after meeting some new friends, getting a good grade on a test, the same daughter said, Dad, school's terrific. This is exactly where God wants me to be. My roommate and I have gone shopping for some food to cook in our room so we can endure the cafeteria. And how are you and Mom doing? You know, I can't describe the difference in impact those two phone calls had on me. One filled with murmuring and questioning depressed me. The other filled with affirmation and gratitude made me all warm inside. What's more, I imagine those two different attitudes had dramatic effect upon my daughter. What we say affects those around us dramatically, for better or for worse. And now we go back to the question I asked you earlier in the worship. How did you start your day today? What were you saying to people around you before you came to church? What words have you been sharing with family and friends to communicate how you feel about how God's handling your life, for example? Are you murmuring and complaining, or are you praising God and expressing gratitude? Do your words indicate you believe a loving, all-powerful God is in control of what's happening to you? Do you exude a confidence and peace that things are okay in spite of difficult times and people? Or do you communicate your life is out of control and things are going downhill fast and you feel abandoned by God? What you say has dramatic impact on what behavior patterns you're going to adopt to solve your problems. And therefore, what you say determines the outcome. Grumbling and complaining leads to action. Action against people, against circumstances, and against God. That's a first important truth about dangers in grumbling and questioning. Now, secondly, overcoming habitual grumbling and questioning is, on the positive side, a step toward godliness that makes our lives shine as lights in a dark world. Words precede godly behavior. If we start really believing in the adequacy of God's love and promises, you realize that murmuring and negativism and pessimism become totally unnecessary. If we change what we say, we change our spiritual life. Because grumbling is basically a cry of disbelief. James said, if anyone makes no mistakes in what he says, he's a perfect man and able to bridle the whole body. The day you get your tongue in control, you'll be perfect, says James. Jesus said, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. And so to stop grumbling, to begin expressing gratitude in all circumstances, to become expectant of what God is about to do, can lead us to adopt moral behavior that reinforces our words and in turn makes us shine as lights out there in a dark society where most people are basically hopeless. We become the light of the world when we're confident that in spite of tough people and lousy circumstances, God is going to make everything okay. We're godly when we express with our mouths that God is in control of our lives. People need to hear that truth verbally and hear it reinforced by our lives and attitudes. Now, I want to illustrate the relationship between grumbling and godliness on the negative side. I have found that most people who fall into immorality and greed and dishonesty or ungodliness have preceded their action with lots of talking. Allow our minds to fill up with all the unfair things that God and people and circumstances are doing to us. Start talking to others about how miserable our job, our kids, our marriage, our health, our physical appearance, our old age, our station in life seem to be. Talk long enough, think long enough, and soon you're going to start questioning the wisdom of remaining faithful to a God and to your own values that seem to have let you down. Soon you'll rationalize an excuse for irresponsibility that maybe goes something like this. Nuts to you, world, and nuts to you, God. I'm going to go and make something good happen to me, even if it means hurting you, God, or hurting you, people, and stomping on friends that I love to achieve it. No one has ever fallen into immorality, into ungodliness, without first thinking and talking lots about it. And so let's take seriously, says this text, our habits of murmuring and questioning. Words and godly living are correlated. Words and ungodly living are correlated. And so if we have excessive grumbling and complaining, if we find ourselves a chronic grouch, maybe it's time to ask God to help us do something about our mouths. Because at the same time, He'll be doing something about our hearts. Remember the psalmist prayed, "Lord, set a guard over my mouth." In the children's sermon today, the preacher had the kids take a hold of their tongue. Just grab it. I won't have you do that. But you know, you can't say a word when you've got your tongue. You know, try saying something bad, he said. And they couldn't. They were just oohing and aahing. And you know, God had that in mind. He wants us to take control of our tongues and eliminate the stuff that is not characteristic of a heart in which Jesus lives. James asked the question, I think it was James, of how can salt water and fresh water exude out of the same mouth, blessing and cursing? And he says, this ought not to be. The psalmist prayed, "Lord, set a guard over my mouth." That can be our prayer this week. Now, if you want to do something about being a chronic murmurer, grumbler, and a grouch, let me just give a few suggestions before we go home. Let me first tell you that monitoring our murmuring can be very discouraging. I've done it this week, and again, I'm just amazed at how much stuff comes out of me that I didn't even know was there. I'm amazed at my verbal responses, my first ones at least, to a tough person or a trying situation. It's as if God was kind of asleep and I'm on my own. I'm basically, my mouth would say, I'm on my own and that I'm not a child of God so many times. Overcoming negativism, criticism, gossip, judging others with words is an overwhelming, if not impossible, task. An elder said to me Tuesday morning, "I find it easier to change my behavior than to change my verbal habits. As I grow in Christ, my behavior gets corrected quicker than my words." Maybe there's something to that. So here are some suggestions I find that are helping me make some changes. First, choose a friend and make yourself accountable to that friend, saying, "You call me on it when I start spewing out this stuff that contradicts who I am." Now, that's really being serious if you give somebody that permission. It also can be kind of hurtful for a while when you find out how much is reflected back to you, but a good friend will do it for you. Secondly, pray. Pray asking God to fill you with some new thoughts and new attitudes that'll change your heart. For example, forgive the person who's hurt you and out of resentment, you're being driven up the wall and loading that person, at least in your thoughts, with all kinds of negativism. Or approach a situation trusting that God is working in these bad happenings, even if you can't see. You see, the important thing is that we cannot just stop saying negative things, stop grumbling and complaining. That's a vacuum. And Jesus said when we sweep out our heart and create a vacuum, 10 more demons will move in. Once the murmuring is gone, replace it with words of confidence and praise. Give forgiveness. And what I suggest, and maybe this sounds a little trite, you know, most of the time, our conversation with God is we're out to get something from Him. We're always on the take. And how wonderful it would be if we could use our mouths just to take some time this next week and say, "God, you're terrific. You're the best friend I have. I don't know how you put up with me, but I'm so glad you do. Thank you for letting me live in this area. Thank you for carrying me when I couldn't walk alone. Thank you for being faithful." If we could just spend some time praising God rather than becoming myopically focused on what's wrong and then verbalizing about it, it could change us. The science of psychology increasingly is finding the power of positive talk having effects on our bodies and on our lives and on the outcomes of things. And Jesus was 2,000 years ahead of them. So now as we go home, and this week when people ask you, "How are you?" maybe one answer you could give is, "Well, things are okay and they're sure going to get better if it's tough." Say something good about your impossible job, your impossible circumstance, your impossible marriage or boss. Affirm someone who hurt you rather than striking out looking for a way to wound them back with gossip and criticism. With the help of the Holy Spirit, transform murmuring and questioning into times of thanksgiving and praise and affirmation and anticipation an act that the scripture says God will use to change our moral lives and will lead us to be lights in this dark world. I just simply challenge you today in the simplicity of this text, this week, watch your words and see what happens. Perhaps James does the best job of describing the role of words in our Christian lives. This is incredible. He says, if anyone thinks he's religious and does not bridle his tongue, but deceives his heart, this man's religion is in vain. No wonder our text says the proof of our spirituality is our mouths. Because if we do not bridle our mouths, our Christianity is in vain. The psalmist said, what man is there who desires life and covets many days that he may enjoy good? Keep your tongue from evil, your lips from speaking deceit, depart from evil, do good, seek peace and pursue it. You note, keep your tongue from evil, your lips from speaking deceit, then you'll depart from evil and you'll do good. Words precede behavior. Think about it this week. The Holy Spirit pushes some buttons today. Have him monitor your mouth. And together, let's first take our spiritual temperatures this week. Where are we spiritually according to our mouths? And secondly, what do we want to do about it? And to his name be the glory. Amen.